Good morning. Welcome to Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster. This is Jim Nichols sitting in for Jim Inkster, and we've had some phone issues here. Normally, we would ask you to call 877-217-5757, but right now our phones are down, which has impacted our ability to get our first guest. We do expect Michael Bonnet, the Associate Athletic Director and Communications Director at LSU Athletics, to be with us in studio soon. Always want to remind people that signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Jerry Lane Chevrolet, and we appreciate their support of this great program. So we're going to turn the tables a little bit. This is an opportunity I've been looking forward to for maybe 25 or 30 years. I'm going to get to interview Jim Inkster for a moment here. Jim, welcome to Talk Louisiana.
Well, it's nice to be here, Jim, and this is unexpected, but a treat to visit with you, and many may not remember, but Jim Nichol was the board chair for a while when I was the station manager, and he guided us through an interesting time. The station had been running huge deficits at the time of our arrival, and based on the guidance from Jim and others like Buck Moyes and Don Lyle, we eradicated those deficits, and the station has done extremely well. And it was your leadership that got us through a perilous time. If you remember about, it was 8 months into my tenure, I had a car wreck and almost perished, but we got through it and we had a great staff. And as always, it was the listeners, the people who were listeners and contributors to WRKF who made it all possible. And is the reason why this station's been around for 42 years now.
So, yeah, and you know, we lost Mr. Lyle this past year, a couple months ago.
Yeah, not so long ago. He was a great man. He helped me in many ways. I mentioned it on the air that I mentioned Buck Moyes as well, but when I acquired the Louisiana Radio Network and Tiger Rag Magazine, I needed some investors. I'd had an investor who kind of pulled out right at the finish line, and I needed some people to join me quickly to get the job done, and Buck Moyes and Don Lyle, they came and they did it and enabled me to have opportunities I never dreamed of. So I thank both of them and two of the greatest men I've ever been around. And
well, you know, they enjoyed tremendous success in business, but they didn't leave the community behind in the process. And that's the type of people we always need in our communities, particularly when it comes to public radio. And we appreciate their leadership on WRKF. So speaking of Tiger Rag, LSU football right around the corner, I don't think there's anything, maybe other than politics, that draws the attention of the people in Louisiana, regardless of where they live, North Louisiana, South Louisiana, even in New Orleans. Everybody becomes an LSU fan because we're undefeated, right? We haven't lost a game yet. Coach Kelly is the talk of the town. And so your outlook, you've watched LSU football since you were a young man at LSU as a student. What's your perspective? What do you think the expectations are out there for this team?
The expectations always exceed reality. I think LSU fans, most of them think the Tigers should never lose a game, and of course that's impossible. Even Nick Saban loses every now and then, and they're in the toughest conference and the toughest league with the most talented array of coaches in the history of the Southeastern Conference, and Brian Kelly joins that group, but he's one of a number, and he starts with some rebuilding to do, and it appears he's done that. But whether he can compete nationally or even in the conference this year is subject to conjecture, and I hope people will be patient. But we'll learn a lot on September 4th, just as last year when LSU lost at the Rose Bowl to UCLA. That set the stage for a bad season. If Kelly can defeat Florida State, he's probably going to have a good season. If he doesn't, it could be rocky. And then, Jim, the Baton Rouge Bowl on September 10th, 4 weeks away. LSU and Southern. I love that. It's long overdue, and it'll be quite a community event.
Yeah, great minds think alike. I was about to ask you about that. That's never happened, correct? LSU and Southern have never met on the football field. They've met in baseball, I guess in basketball, but never in football. Mm-hmm. And my understanding from the LSU officials is it's almost a sellout. People are expecting a really, really big crowd. It's been a long time since we filled up Tiger Stadium.
It will be a sellout, and it'll be a spectacle. Now, Southern played a few years ago at Georgia and got really clobbered, and unfortunately one of the players got paralyzed.
Yeah.
So it's a mismatch, but it is a social event of epic proportion, and I don't think the outcome of the game is as important as the fact that the two schools are meeting, and LSU has played every state school that has a major football program except Southern and Grambling. They played Nichols, they played Southeastern, they played McNeese.
Tulane.
Tulane, go down the list. UL Monroe, UL Lafayette. but no Northwestern State, but no Southern, no Grambling. And this is long overdue, and it'll be a case in which LSU gets a W, Southern gets about $700,000. And I think all this concern about fights and riots and that sort of thing, we're not going to have that. It's going to be an exceptional event for our city and by extension, the state of Louisiana. Now, Mike Martin, I think he was right when he was president, chancellor of LSU. He said that this is the only city in America with two land-grant universities in the same city, LSU and Southern.
And I certainly can't think of any others.
And we're meeting on the football field, LSU and Southern, for the first time. And it says something about the culture, too. As we know, LSU was largely segregated until the 60s. And now, when we look out on the football field, about 85% of the Tiger players will be black, and most of the Southern team will be black. But in this game, we'll have a lot of people who are in the stands who are of minority, the minority race in the country, and that is something that is long, long overdue at Tiger Stadium.
So, yeah, I think talking to the folks at LSU and at Southern, both schools are and their administrations and their athletic departments are looking forward to it, and I think the mayor here, Mayor Broome, is looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a wonderful event for the state, and as you said, long overdue. So I'm going to talk to Michael Bonnet about this, but I do want to get your perspective. You've been watching college athletics all your life. Most folks should know that besides being a very talented radio host and public affairs broadcaster for many years in Louisiana and in Baton Rouge, you also run Tiger Rag magazine, and it's widely read by LSU fans all over the world. And I'm interested in your perspective as to what has been, and it's early in the NIL world, but what's been a bigger impact to college athletics, NIL or transfer portal, or are they the same?
Well, they've both been enormous game changers. And, of course, how well schools adapt will determine their success or lack thereof. But I think long term, the NIL is going to be huge. And these players, they make millions for universities. And now they're going to make some of them will make millions themselves. I guess the question is, you can only split the pie so many ways. So every $1 million that an outstanding player gets, that's $1 million that won't be going to the university. So this has got to have an impact. And we've noted that LSU has the smallest endowment of any school in the Southeastern Conference. Our graduates a few years back were contributing to the university at 6%.
Yeah.
So now maybe they'll contribute more if it involves athletics, particularly football. But LSU does not have the resources of a school like Texas A&M,
no.
Which has just an enormous endowment.
It may have the largest public endowment of universities in the country, and I forget what the number is, but it's astronomical. Well, I do think what LSU is doing, and with the recent legislation that was passed to amend the NIL law in Louisiana, does allow the university and the athletic department and the coaching staff to be involved somewhat in the NIL environment. They certainly can't be technically involved in the deal between the advertiser and the athlete, but they can. I think what Coach Kelly's goal is to try to achieve, he can't achieve parity. Certainly the quarterback will always make more than the punter, but I do think there is a desire by most schools to make sure that everyone in the locker room gets a chance to do some type of NIL deal. And I think that's what you're pointing to is it could create locker room issues where you have the quarterback and the star wide mm-hmm. receiver making a lot of money and the center is not. And you certainly want, in the locker room, team unity.
Well, and I don't think we want to see Odell Beckham handing out $100 bills again as LSU cascades off the field as national champions. And that moment was spoiled a little bit by that episode. But Joe Burrow was right. He said it was kind of like the old Edwin Edwards line. It may have been illegal for him to give it to me, but it was illegal for me to take it. And Odell's banned from campus. But I don't think we're going to ban Joe Burrow, are we?
No, I don't think so. And I think he's getting over his appendectomy and hadn't been on the practice field yet for the Bengals, but they expect him back. By the way, the Bengals come to New Orleans. We'll have a game soon between the Joe Burrow will be visiting, I think it's mid-October, the Bengals play in the Superdome, and I suspect we'll have a lot of LSU fans there maybe pulling for Joe and pulling for the Saints at the same time, which will be a challenge. But he's become quite the icon in a two-year span. He's mm-hmm. as big a name in this state as almost anybody. Billy Cannon, maybe. I mean, he's big.
He could end up running for governor. Jim, you might have to put your political hat back on. I have a feeling he would be a tough guy to beat.
Oh, yeah. Nowadays, he would certainly be a tough guy to beat. But, you know, that's a transfer portal story. That's a big success.
Yeah.
And Ed Orgeron, give him credit. Whatever you may think of Coach Orgeron's tenure at LSU, you have to give him credit that he saw something in Joe Burrow, gave him the football, and the rest is history.
And Bunny Cannon was on this show August 2nd, Billy's 85th birthday, and she said that Joe Burrow signed to come to LSU the day her father died.
Wow.
May 20th, 2018. Think about that.
That's amazing.
The baton was passed. There was a street right off Highland in your neighborhood, Burrow Drive, and the sign just keeps getting stolen. What's the deal?
Well, you know, that's very popular. So Jim Nickel sitting in for Jim Inkster and talking to Jim Inkster on Talk Louisiana. Our phone lines are down. If they get back up, we'll certainly invite you to call in. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster. Jim Nickel sitting in for Jim Inkster and actually sitting with Jim Inkster in the studio. We're having some issues with our phone lines and unfortunately not able to hear from you and not able to get some of our scheduled guests on the line. So we're just making it work right now.
And Michael Bonnet is en route and he'll be a great guest.
He will.
But I do have a note, and I mentioned this on air, Jim, that a few months ago we put in this super duper phone system from Gage Telephone. And I think this is the third time we've had this issue. Few other times they've come up during the show, but I'm not sure we'll be that fortunate today. But I have a message saying this is a mass outage affecting all of our customers. So these things happen at show business, but this turned out to be fortuitous because I had some other meetings planned, but I came by the office and then I heard the phones were down and here Jim was already here to host the show. And so lo and behold, he's hosting. And instead of being on his side of the console, I'm on the other. And now I know why guests get a little wary. It's a little different, Jim.
Well, you know, we've been doing this a long time, and we started out on 3rd Street how many years? 25, 30 years ago?
It was the 90s? June 22nd, 1998 was the first show. But, of course, I worked on 3rd Street going back to 1983 with the network as the news director, and Jim Nickel was right downstairs from me. I was on the 5th floor. Bob Dean was our landlord, and I was on the 5th floor, and you were on the 1st floor. And now we have the remarkable Michael Bonnet arriving and saving the day. And I like it a lot better as a host than I do as a guest. So I'm going to vacate the chair. And folks, you'll have an amazing conversation with Jim Nickel and Michael Bonnet. Jim Nickel's been the spotter for LSU football for 13 seasons. So he is a ubiquitous talent, can do lots of things. And he's gotten to know Michael really well. And Michael, of course, has gotten national plaudits for his work as the associate athletic director and has had some good people before him, like Bud Johnson and Paul Manasseh, Herb Benson. And, of course, he works with one of the most amazing people on the planet, Kent Lowe. So they're quite a team. Here we go.
All right, so joining us now is Michael Bonnet. He's the Associate Athletic Director and Communication Director at LSU. I do want a quick shout-out to Robin Dow, who's producing today's show. She's been calm, cool, and collected through this whole little situation where the phones were down, and she never blinked, and we got through it. Thank Jim Inkster for joining us as we get through this. And Michael Bonnet, who was going to be our guest in the second half hour, hopped in his car and said, I'll be there as soon as I can, and as always, comes through as a person to represent LSU well and comes through as a friend all the time. Michael, welcome to the show, Talk Louisiana. Before we get down to business, big day today in the Bonnet household. What's today?
Max turned 17.
Yep. Youngest Bonnet, right?
That's the last one. Yeah, he's the last one. So 17 for Max today. Happy birthday. I'm sure he's in probably second or third hour there at the lab school. But he's 17. Hard to believe.
Hard to believe. Max Bonnet, by the way, is pretty famous. He was often quoted by Michael Bonnet on Twitter and other social media platforms as a younger man. He had quite a few interesting perspectives. He was always predicting LSU football well. His scores were spot on. And he's not quite as verbose as a 17-year-old as he was when he was a 7-year-old.
No, and I get people asking me quite often, you don't tweet about Max anymore. Well, he doesn't give me any good content. I mean, you know, you got to have good content to put it out there. But I do have everything I tweeted from Max about Max through the years, I have put into a folder So maybe there's a book or something to be written.
Maybe so. That would be, yeah, you know, we've seen that from other people in the sports world. Yeah. So native of Lake Charles, what year is this at LSU for you?
This will be 29th as a full-time staff member. Obviously, I graduated from LSU, so four more years in the sports information office. So 33 total.
33 years. This guy, and if you, and you can't see him on radio, but he looks like he's 33 years old. So
thank you.
It hasn't aged you, that's for sure. You've seen a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen a lot. Who's the first football coach at LSU when you were there?
Well, Mike Archer when I was a student.
Okay.
And Curley. And okay. then DiNardo. And that was – DiNardo was there when I became a full-time staff member. And then in this current role that I'm in, Nick Saban was the first coach that I dealt with on a daily basis.
That's
earned
that's,
my stripes in a hurry.
There you go. And so you had Coach Saban, then you had Coach Miles,
yep.
then you had Coach Ogeron, now Coach Kelly.
Yeah.
And we're gonna dive into that in a little while, but I think you know most people see you on game day and certainly on Monday press conferences with the head football coach. But your department handles, I think I looked at it, like 21 different sports, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So day in day out, it's not just football. You've got a team over there. You're dealing with volleyball, softball, golf.
Yeah.
I mean you're and in today's social media environment. You guys are responsible for a lot of content for a lot of sports.
Yeah, what we, you know, in the world of social media and the coaches and their expectations, especially trying to get the attention of recruits, you got to be out there all the time. So we have found ourselves, unlike in years past, where when we didn't have social media, we're covering our athletes as they go to the professional ranks, mm-hmm. when they're competing overseas. We've had a women's golfer compete all over the world this year, and Kent Lowe has followed her every step of the way through social media. So, it's a 24-hour a day, 7 day a week, pretty much turned into a year-round deal. We do have 21 sports, and you know it's you got to have a great staff. And Jim mentioned Kent Lowe earlier. You know Kent, Bill Franquez. You know those two guys have been. I've leaned on them through the years, and I couldn't do it without those two. I've got a great time. I'm very fortunate. I have an outstanding staff that makes it all happen.
So social media been a blessing in some ways with recruiting and your opportunity to expose LSU athletics quickly and effectively, but it can also be a job. I mean, included in your responsibilities, I guess, is somewhat keeping an eye on what the players are doing on social media. And I guess when it first hit, it was hard to control. Have you found the student athletes to be a little more cooperative in that area? They found it can work both ways?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they understand the responsibility that goes with being an LSU football player or an LSU student athlete, no matter the sport. It was trying at first with Twitter, you know, because you'd have players. I remember vividly a player who didn't play in a game when Twitter first came out. And he tweeted something he shouldn't have right after the game. He had to bring it to the coach, and he's got to address it because, you know, it creates problems. And you don't want to put your dirty laundry out on the street. You keep it within the locker room, keep it within the team. But not, you know, this NIL world has opened up a whole different opportunity for these student athletes. And I think most of them understand that social media is an opportunity for them to grow their brand, to make an impression on possible clients. For them to get business. We've been very lucky that our players understand, our student athletes understand the value and the dangers of it.
I wanted to talk about the transfer portal because we are personal friends, and that's just full disclosure. Michael and I are, and we travel with the LSU football team. So I've seen you over the years develop personal relationships with these players. I mean, obviously you are there as a mentor and as a guide and someone guiding them through the media world, social or otherwise. But with the transfer portal, look, over time, it used to be you had a student athlete for 4 years. You got to know the young woman or the young man, and y'all got to be friends. You met their parents. You helped guide them through radio interviews and TV interviews and helped them handle their Twitter accounts and things of that nature. With the transfer portal, are you at a disadvantage in that all of a sudden – an athlete shows up and they're only here for a year? I mean, is it more challenging in that regard?
Well, it depends. You know, I will say that a guy like Noah Kane, who came from Penn State, he met with the media for the first time the other day, and he blew him away. He was unbelievable. I mean, this guy is very, you know, said the right things, does it in a right way, understands how to look in front of the camera, what to do, looked him in the eye. So, you know, when you get a guy like that, you take a deep breath and then you hear him speak and see him interact with the media and you let go. And you know that, you know, this guy's good. And he's also a really good football player. But these relationships take time. They don't happen overnight. And, the transfer portal, just as with like me, as would it be with getting to know a teammate, it takes time. Yeah. So, that's one of the disadvantages, especially when you get a guy that's, you know, here for only 1 year or so. It's challenging, but we'll work through it just like anything else. We always seem to.
Jim Nichols sitting in for Jim Inkster on Talk Louisiana, our guest Michael Bonnett, and we're running up against the bottom of the hour. Michael's going to stick around with us. We're going to talk more about LSU athletics, NIL, all the different changes going on, and we're going to talk a little bit about football, too, because it's right around the corner, and we look forward to doing that with Michael Bonnett on Talk Louisiana. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster, Jim Nichols sitting in. Normally we'd ask you to call 877-217-5757 and chat with Michael Bonnett, but our phone lines are down. And as a result, we're just going to go ahead and keep talking with Mr. Bonnett about LSU athletics and what the future holds in so many different sports and so many different issues. NIL, of course, the transfer portal, the rise of women athletics. Certainly in your career, it's – of course, Sue Gunner had some success, and we've had some success with women's basketball. But now it's very important for universities and for SEC schools to provide the support and the attention to women's athletics more so than ever. And of course, Coach Mulkey brings it to a whole nother level. I mean, she gets it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she see the thing that I really respect about Coach Mulkey is she embraced the legacy Coach Gunner left. Mm-hmm. I mean, she appreciated what Sue Gunner did for women's basketball, not just at LSU, but nationwide. And she has really made a point to not forget about that and recognize it. But Coach Mulkey's done a great job. You know, she hit the transfer portal hard this summer, and they've got quite a team. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't surprised by the number of games. I told her after the season, I said, well, you screwed up. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you won like 25 games. You got to win 30 next year.
That's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, those are her expectations. And, again, she does it the right way. It's not just a win on the court. She's she's demanding. They go to class. They do the right thing in the community. It's the full program.
Speaking of basketball, we got a new basketball coach, Greg McMahon. Is that right?
Matt McMahon.
And obviously, you've had an opportunity to meet him. I have not. And he's rebuilding quickly too. What's the team look like as far as transfer portal?
Yeah, well, it's all transfer portal guys. You know, we didn't have much of a roster after last year, so he hit the transfer portal hard. I think we have somewhere 10 or 11 transfer guys. You know, it's free agency, and the good thing is he had him this summer to do some work, and it's all he's got the talent, just getting them all to cohesive and getting them to come together as one. So it'll be interesting to see. It's a tough schedule as always playing in the SEC. The SEC seems to get stronger and stronger every year in basketball, but I think he's the right man at the right time to lead this program. He did a great job at Murray State. He found Ja Morant, a guy who's an NBA superstar, and did some really special things at Murray State. So I think we're in really good hands with him at the head of our program.
Michael Bonnett's our guest. He's the Associate Athletic Director and Communication Director at LSU. He oversees the sports information that goes out on all sports, and that's 21 of them. And that's no small task. And his football what's the book you all put out before football season, the media guide.
Yeah, the media guide. Yeah,
he's won national awards for the media guides they've put out. Do they still have the rules on that? I remember you were telling me one time. You couldn't have color other than on the cover.
Right.
Have they gotten
some
rid of that?
Silly recruiting rules. Yeah. But they've kind of laid off some of those rules.
Is the media guide for this football season available yet?
Not yet. It's going to be online though. You know, we found that we're going to have a handful printed for the media, but. You know, we're getting rid of dozens of them every year. People just don't like the bound book anymore.
What about the football program? You know, you used to see people, you know, get your program walking out of the stadium.
Yeah,
people still buy those.
Absolutely. Bill Franquez is the managing editor of that and does a great job. We'll still have the game program this year. So it's a keepsake. It's a, you know, it's a nice, you know, collectible item that people enjoy having. So, yeah, we'll still have those on Saturday in Tiger Stadium.
Number 18 is a big deal on the Tiger football team.
Absolutely.
A tradition that started with Jake, with
Matt Mark.
And it's given to a player who, I guess, provides leadership on and off the field. His and it was presented this past week to who?
B.J. Ojulari.
Okay, tell us about B.J.
Well, he's fantastic. You know, I told B.J., B.J. went to SEC Media Days, represented LSU at SEC Media Days, he and Mike Jones and Jack Besh. And, you know, here's what people don't see. They see the work they do in practice. They see what they, you know, game, obviously. But let me tell you what these guys did. They took it very serious. We said here, you know, it's a great opportunity. There's going to be 700, 800 media there. You know, this isn't something we just show up at and talk. So Dr. Tommy Karam, who you know, is a media training guy, specialist for us. They probably spent 12 to 15 hours of their own, on their own time working with Dr. Karam getting ready for SEC Media Days, and they knocked it out of the park. But, you know, BJ is the kind of guy that if you have boys, you want them to grow up and be like him. I think that's the biggest compliment you can give a young man. He's everything that you want in an LSU Tiger. He's going to give you everything he has on play one through the last play of the game. He's going to be a leader on the field. He goes to school, does a good job in the classroom, you know, in the community he's involved. He's just very respectful. I can't get him to even call me Mr. Michael. Mm-hmm. He keeps calling me Mr. Bonnet, and as you and I look around and look for where's my dad, you know.
Well, we're going to talk about the real Mr. Bonnet in a minute. So what position does he play? Some of our listeners, you know, it's public radio.
True. He's a defensive end, kind of an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. His brother plays for the New York Giants. His brother was a Georgia Bulldog.
Okay.
So many people thought BJ was going to go to Georgia, but, you know, we stole him out of Georgia. So his brother was a second-round draft pick of the Giants a couple years ago. But, you know, comes from a great family. He was born into a family of royalty in his home country. He's technically a prince.
Okay.
So, you know, he's very, very, unique, just an all around outstanding young man.
So we've cranked up practice. We're in full practice. I noticed the other day that they had a recovery day. Tell us a little bit about that. So, I mean, in the old days, you know, in Doug Morrow's time, you went home after class ended in May, and you didn't show up till August, and the coach had to whip you into shape.
Correct.
These guys stay in shape, hopefully, all year round.
Yeah.
They're part of our nutrition program. They're part of our training program. So August practice is more about, I guess, getting ready for the season than it is about getting in shape. And then now we've got this recovery thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Coach Kelly, we practice for 6 days. Then on this seventh day is a recovery day. And it's not a day off. It's a day off from practice. But the players had a yoga session. Mm-hmm. They had a nutrition time. They did all these things. They had
stretching,
training room. You know, take care of your body. That's been the big theme in practice is – look, we're only out here a couple hours. Coach Kelly's a big, let's get our work done and then get off the field. There's no point in being out here three and a half. You're not getting anything done. So we practice for 2 hours. It's very effective. It's efficient. Technical and tactical is what he likes to call it. He's demanding, but he makes sure his coaches aren't demeaning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're getting a lot done in a two-hour window there.
How'd the players receive this? Were they skeptical? Did they giggle at all, or did they understand the – because I'm a big believer in you know, you run these guys' legs out and you get to the Superdome and you got nothing.
Yeah, no, it's the players understand that. That's why you work so hard in June and July. You're not preparing for a game right around the corner, but you're getting your bodies ready for camp. So, therefore, you don't have to get in shape in camp. You're already in shape.
Right.
And let's not do anything in the 3-4 weeks that we're in August that we're practicing that's going to lose us the opener. I think we've had some issues with that in the past where we've taken so much out of the guys in camp that, you know, come November, we were drained.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. I mean, he's very – you know, they wear these monitors so they're able to track their movements and how much energy they're expending, and it's really become a science. So you know, it's they're on top of things. I think the players understand it, appreciate it. You know, we haven't, knock on wood, haven't had any soft tissue issues at all, which tend to happen early in camp. Mm-hmm. So we scrimmage next week. Next Wednesday will be our first full go scrimmage-wise. But, you know, Coach Kelly's got a great plan. He's done a great job of hiring some of the best nutritionists and strength and conditioning coaches. Bo Lowry, as you know, is an outstanding trainer. And so, you know, he surrounds himself with great people and then empowers those people to do their job.
More of a CEO type approach.
Yeah, but he's involved in every aspect of the program. He wants to know what's going on. He gets reports daily. You know, I've been very, very impressed with how he runs a program.
Yeah, I've been around him a little bit too, and I'm impressed as well. He's certainly a very affable and very a nice man to speak to.
Absolutely.
But you know, he's taking care of business at the same time.
And
I think that's a compliment to him. And I think Jim Inkster was on earlier, and I think our fans need to give him some time to get his program, his process, as we like to call it, in place. Let's keep our expectations realistic, and let's build towards something.
Yeah.
We can't just do it overnight. So looking forward to that. And I do want to talk about some of the games coming up this season. Real quickly, the LSU Southern game is going to be a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
Y'all excited about it?
Very much so. You know, it's the first time LSU's obviously played Southern in football, but it's also the first time we played an HBCU school.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's unique. It's something that Verge you know, Verge Osberry handles the football scheduling, and it's something that he's wanted to do for a long time. Finally worked out. You know, Verge has done a great job of spreading the wealth around the state. These games are big for schools, the McNeeses, the Northwesterns, the Southerns.
Big paycheck helps
financially. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything to get here,
right.
Rather than having to go fly across the country, spend a ton of money to do that. So, you know, Verge has done a nice job of giving other schools in the state of Louisiana an opportunity to come to Tiger Stadium. It's a big deal. So, yeah, we're excited. You know, Southern Band's going to perform at halftime along with our band. And it ought to be it's a great opportunity for our community to come together and show the country. It'll be a nationally televised game on, I think, the SEC network. But, you know, it's just great for Baton Rouge to show that this is a great place. Everyone, you know, we do our best to get along, and I think it's going to be just a fun day on the LSU campus.
Michael Bonnet's our guest on Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster. This is Jim Nichols sitting in for Jim Inkster. We're going to stick around with Michael and finish out the show when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the first few games coming up. When are we going to be on TV? What time we're going to kick off? And then I do want to explore a little bit about the Bonnet family history when it comes to sports information. This is Jim Nichols sitting in for Jim Inkster, and I do believe we're about to take a break, Robin. Is that right? All right. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster. Jim Nichols sitting in for Jim Inkster on a Friday morning. We're visiting with Michael Bonnet, who is the Associate Athletic Director and Communication Director at LSU and has been there for all of his adult life.
Yeah.
And we're celebrating the great Max Bonnet's birthday today.
So yes,
turns
we are.
17, and hopefully we'll get Max to be a public radio fan soon, since we talked about him more than anybody else on the show. Okay, so back to football. The media has had quite a bit of access the local reporters, TV, radio, newspaper, to practice. That's refreshing. And I'm wondering how, in your job, you have to – you know, we call it in politics feeding the beast. I mean, you have to provide, or you want to provide them content so they can do their job.
Right.
But also your job is to not in any way jeopardize, you know, the program and the strategy and things of that nature. And you know these people, you know the reporters that follow LSU football. I mean, some of them have followed them for 30, 40 years. How do you balance that? I mean, is that predicated by how the coach approaches it or by how you approach it?
No, it's the coach. I think it's his comfort level. You know, we're getting – the media is getting some unprecedented access right now. I mean, yesterday, for example, they saw an entire practice. First 12 periods, they got to video, take photos. Then after period 12, put the cameras down and just watch. And that's the first time since I've been doing this that media has been able to see – in its entirety a camp practice. So, you know, I think there's a lot of value to that. They understand that, you know, I had more than a handful of media come up and say, this is unbelievable. Yeah. This is great. Thank you. And, you know, but I think it's an opportunity for them to kind of see what goes on in a full practice. You know, the media had access previously, but they'd only come out for the individual drills.
Yeah.
You don't get to see any football in that. Basically, they're just there checking roll, seeing who's practicing, who's not there, and that's what they report. Now, they actually see what's going on, and they have some insight as to our schemes, who's playing what, who looks good, who's some of the newcomers. So, you know, I think it's a good strategy, and I think it's beneficial for us as a program, and it also helps them get a kind of a better understanding as the team, as a team. So when we do play Florida State in week one, they kind of have an idea of what to expect.
A lot of unanswered questions, and look, that'll all come in time.
Right.
Who's going to play quarterback? Who's going to kick? Who's going to return kicks? I mean, that's all up in the air. I do, as a spotter, want to ask you, will we have – three punters wearing the number 38, or do you think we've gone away from that strategy?
No, we've moved away from that. I remember that night well.
People don't remember. Coach Miles thought it was a pretty good strategy to have all of our punters wear the same number.
Right.
And in order for me to be able to determine who they were, to let the broadcast know who it was, one would wear a long white sock, and one would wear black shoes.
Right.
And you would write all that down for me so we could.
Yeah.
And that trickery hey, it may have made a difference.
It
who
may
knows?
Have.
We won a national championship. You know, maybe we'll go back to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so in due time, we'll know who's playing what positions, and we'll have a great football season. We know what time we're playing Florida State, 6:30 kick in the Dome. Southern is going to be an evening
6:30.
Game. 6:30. Mississippi State's the next game, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just sort of is predicated by how our season's going, who we're playing. So we don't know the kickoff times moving beyond that.
Right. New Mexico's another night game. But after
is that,
that
New Mexico or New Mexico State?
That's New Mexico, the Lobos.
Yeah. The Lobos.
So, but after that, it's, you know, that the networks have that 12-day window where they pick the Monday, the week prior to the game to determine, you know, what time the game is, what network carries it. So, so that's where we are.
Fantastic home schedule, by the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, Tennessee coming to town.
Yeah.
That's a treat. Alabama's going to be here. Ole Miss is going to be here.
Yeah, it's a great home schedule.
Great home schedule.
And there's still tickets available for those of you that didn't realize there are tickets available. LSUTix.net, there are tickets available, season tickets. So, you know, it's a really good home schedule. Tennessee hadn't been here since 2010.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we'll see our friend Bill Martin come
back
in.
Absolutely. Bill Martin,
who worked with Michael at the LSU Athletic Department, went on to Mississippi State and is now at Tennessee and just had a baby.
And a dad, absolutely.
Yep, and a dad.
All
right, Michael Bonnet, your dad was the SID at McNeese for how long?
46 years.
46 years. Yeah. They named the field after.
They did.
Your brother is the SID at McNeese.
He is.
And your dad's still in great health and still plays golf, walks every day. You grew up watching him do it. Did you know you were going to do this?
I had a feeling. There was something that drew me to it. I grew up in the press box. I remember doing stats for football games when I was 9, 10 years old. I had a passion for it. Very lucky. You know, back then the Southland Conference was much different.
Yeah.
I argue they should bring all those teams back, and it would be a great league.
So who was the Southland Conference back then? That was USL, McNeese,
Tech,
Lamar, Tech,
Arkansas State, Texas Arlington.
Great conference.
Oh, great conference.
Great basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, you bust all these games. And so I'd get on the bus with my dad, and there we go, with Joe Dumars to go play basketball games. And it's just a lot of fun. And I got to know the players, and it's just something I grew up with, and I just said, you know, this is what I want to do. And, you know, it all worked out.
Speaking of conferences, super conferences, there's a lot of speculation. And for those people who are not familiar with that term, of course, you have some major conferences in this country
right
now. I mean, you've got the SEC, the ACC. And what is this whole speculation about super conferences? And I'm not asking you to say it will or will not happen. But if it were to happen, what does that look like, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, with the SEC expanding, adding Texas and Oklahoma here in a few years, I think it put a lot of pressure on these other leagues because they felt like the SEC is getting stronger. And we already are the premier conference. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So I think it put pressure on the other leagues to say, what can we do? And you see Southern Cal and UCLA joining the Big Ten. Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy.
It is.
But I think it's ultimately going to end up in a place where you have two, perhaps three conferences with a lot of teams and an expanded playoff. I think that's, you know, TV and money are driving this. That's just where we are. And, I just don't think it's avoidable at this point. And I'm not – and I don't think it's going to end college football. I think, personally, for me, if these super conferences happen, the ULLs of the world and the Techs, they need to all combine forces and have a middle tier and have their own playoff, and it would be great for college football. So you have the super conference, and then you got this middle group, and throw the McNeeses and Southeasterns in there, and it could be really special as well. So – but yeah, it's going that direction. I think the autonomy for these big leagues, the SECs of the world, it's coming, and I think it's only a matter of time.
So NIL, name, image, likeness. Yep. This has changed the landscape as well. Are players at these other schools that we're talking about at McNeese at Southeastern, are they getting NIL deals? Are you hearing?
I'm not hearing. I'm sure they are, not to the amount that the LSU players are getting, obviously, or some of these other well-publicized, you know, I think if you really want to dive deep into NIL, read some of what Ross Dellinger has been reporting on in Sports Illustrated. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, there's a Kentucky basketball player right now that's down in the islands, yeah. And I think he's going to pull in $500,000 while he's down there doing some NIL deals.
There was two Tennessee football players who were flown to New York by their group and taken all over New York, you know, all expenses paid, and it's just – that's where we are. I mean, it's really different. I mean, it's – unlike anything any of us have ever seen before.
So we've talked about football and basketball and women's athletics. I do want to hit baseball
real
quick. So we've got an exciting new baseball coach. Yeah. And then there's an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning, by the way, about our new pitching coach, about how it's absolutely amazing that one of the best pitching coaches in Major League Baseball is coming to be the pitching coach at LSU. Now, part of the reason is he wants to spend time with his family.
Right.
I mean, if you're a Major League Baseball coach, you're never home.
162 games.
And so I think he has a young family or younger kids. He wants to see the volleyball games and those type of games.
Right.
Have you met the new pitching coach?
I haven't met him yet, but I've heard great things about him. I mean, you know, he's obviously an outstanding pitching coach. I mean, the Twins were leading their division when he took the LSU job. I don't think they're leading the division any longer.
No, they're not.
But, yeah, you know, Jay Johnson has done great work. Again, another guy that has really taken advantage of the transfer portal. I mean, when you think college baseball, LSU's at the top of the list.
Sure.
And he's certainly taken advantage of that and done a great job of bringing in players that are going to make an instant impact.
So – this is his second year. Is this Jay Johnson? This will be his second year we're going into.
And
had a pretty good first year.
Yeah.
Would you say the LSU baseball fans, they have high expectations?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look, when you go to Omaha and win it six times, and it's almost like an annual trip that you plan and expect to be there. So, yeah, but I think coaches and players, I think they embrace those expectations. I wouldn't want to be at a program where you didn't expect to be the best. So, yeah, I mean, I think the expectations are very, very high for baseball. But I think our coaches like that. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere that is a result of those expectations.
Michael Bonnet's our guest on Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster, Jim Nichols sitting in. We could not take calls today, folks. We apologize. Our phones are down. So we would normally ask you to call 877-217-5757. Couldn't do it today. So we're just plowing right through it.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to have someone with Michael's experience and ability to talk about these. Look, there's a lot of anxiety, worry amongst my buddies, amongst a lot of college football fans, that NIL, transfer portal, you know, all these new coaches, college athletics is never going to be the same. What's your perspective? Are you bullish on college athletics? Are you worried about college athletics?
I think that change is inevitable. Okay, but I think we've got to get a grips on NIL. I think it's some programs, some schools are really abusing the rules and taking it to a level that, you know, is not what the intent of the rule is. So, but college athletics is always going to be around.
Thank you, Michael. Signature support is provided by Talk for Talk Louisiana by First Financial Tax and Jerry Lane Chevrolet.